what we discussed in our previous class.
Before any doing any other activity, we have prayers.
Lord Brahma is totally refusing the Mayavadi philosophy in verse 2, especially because he is describing very personalistic features of the Lord, like the navel and all these things. So in these three verses, which are very important, Brahma is, as the founder Acharya of the Sampradaya, he is never deviating from the philosophy. He is also conforming to the personal philosophy, personal form of philosophy.
Good. Any other points?
Aham Amiti and Yukta Vairagya are the
which context?
In the context of verse 6, importance of wealth ashram, a lot of points came. The attachment to wealth plus family is very strong. The importance of Yukta Vairagya in that context was highlighted. One should not think that everything is mine and I am controlled. In that context, in verse 6, there are a lot of statements. We discussed in that context of he will not talk to himself. He wrote many balance in Saranagati, where he said that all the wealth is to maintain your servants. That covers his mood. So we discussed 2 points around that.
Any other points?
There's a relationship or a transcendental relationship between the Lord and the devotees because of devotion.
So is that specific?
In chapter 1, verse 5.
So maybe that the preacher is as dear as one. When you see Guru Tejan, the question, you know, report of Brahma like this, and it's not. Have to relate successfully. Madhana is a woman, created a thing. The devotee is fixed, subordinate in sense. And the service of the Lord, this person is fixed.
Any other points?
In verse 5, Srila Prabhupada also mentions about Radhanagar speech. And it is mentioned that to get to that stage, we have to follow Vaidhi Bhakti very properly. And if Vaidhi Bhakti is done well, then we will get association of devotees who are in Radhanagar Bhakti. And by hearing from them, then we will start inviting them to the glory of Radhanagar Bhakti.
Small confusion here is three features of Brahma. Point two is Virat Rupa and point two is Hiranyagarbha. And remember the description whereby they identify Virat Rupa as a subtle body of Lord Brahma. They put down Hiranyagarbha as his subtle body. What is the difference between Hiranyagarbha and Virat Rupa?
Virat Rupa means the when it's manifested, when the universal form is manifested, after Brahma creates. So when everything's created, the universe is created, that's called the Virat Rupa. Like that. And the Hiranyagarbha means subtly, before it is created or fully manifested. It means like on the subtle platform. In other words, that's in his mind, he can see it. So that's the Hiranyagarbha, or the subtle Virat Rupa. And when it's manifest grossly, constructed of the material elements that are considered to be the Virat Rupa.
So
when it's
gross and subtle,
it's
the same.
Like that. Same thing. Gross and subtle form. Secondly?
So then Virat Rupa becomes a gross body of Lord Brahma?
Yeah, the Virat Rupa is considered to be his body also.
But then he is actually body as you see sitting on the lotus flower. It's not like Virat Rupa, it's different.
One and different.
Sorry?
One and different.
One and different.
Yeah. So there's three forms. There's his actual form.
Okay.
And then there's his the universe itself, grossly manifested. It's also considered to be Brahma. And then the subtle form also. Yeah. Right. A little technical. Any other points?
In the very first verse, Brahma is establishing Krishna's supremacy, saying that if there is anything supposedly superior to you, it is not the absolute. You exist as the supreme.
So in chapter 8, then you saw Lord Brahma after chapter 7. What took place in chapter 7? Many questions that were asked. Right. And then what took place in chapter 8?
Chapter
8
was
Yeah. In other words, Lord Brahma then begins to create the universal form. Like that, the saga of the secondary creation becomes manifest. And then we see in the beginning of chapter 9, then he begins to offer his prayers to the Lord. And we saw in the first group of prayers in the beginning of the chapter that he establishes the Lord as being the supreme personality of Godhead. We saw in the previous chapter, chapter 8, that after he was born within ignorance, and after he performed austerity, and then when he became an enlightened soul, then at that point of enlightenment, and in this particular chapter, in chapter 8, he saw Garbhadakshaya Vishnu laying at the bottom of the universe. He saw the spiritual form of the Lord. And after seeing the spiritual form of the Lord, then he began to offer prayers to that form. So in chapter 9 we see the different prayers which Lord Brahma is praying to the Lord. Chapter 9 is called Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. Because at the end of the 8th chapter, the final verse, it is stated that Lord Brahma became infused with the motive passion. In other words, he was inspired by the Lord from within to create the Bharatrupa, or the universe. Because that is his service on behalf of the Lord. But before one can perform a service for the Lord, one first has to pray to the Lord for the ability and the intelligence to carry out that particular service. So therefore he begins to pray, and in the first of his prayers, particularly in prayers 2, 3 and 4, he establishes, or is it 3, 4 and 5?
2, 3 and 4.
2, 3 and 4. In verses 2, 3 and 4 he establishes the Lord's personality. He does not pray to something impersonal. There is no impersonal description within the Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, there is impersonal description, but it never supersedes the personal description of the Lord. It is not that it is ever explained that from the impersonal aspect of the Lord, although in the beginning of the Bhagavatam does say Brahmeti, Paramahmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabjite, although it does state there are three features of the Absolute Truth, but there's never an explanation within the Bhagavatam that the personality of Godhead, or Paramatma feature of Godhead, is emanating from the impersonal feature. Rather it is stated the other way around. So the Lord, Brahma, after praying to the Lord, and after having darshan of the Lord, and after realizing the Lord, he then begins to articulate or explain through his prayers the Lord's position as being a personality. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. And verses 2, 3 and 4 especially establish this point. So because Brahma is one of the senior most personalities, in fact in the 6th canto of the Bhagavatam it is described by Lord Yamaraj as the 12 Mahajans. Right, and the first of the Mahajans is Brahmaji. So Lord Brahma is considered to be one of the greatest authorities of spiritual knowledge. He is the creator of the universe. He is the founder of one of the four bona fide sampradayas. So therefore, he is a supreme authority on spiritual subject matter, and particularly of Bhagavad philosophy. Right? He is the first personality within the universe to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Krishna. So therefore, he's an extremely enlightened soul, and if he gives his authoritative explanation that God is a personality, then who can surpass his explanation? Certainly no one within the universe, because he is the original personality and the supreme personality. And we see that when the universe is in trouble, the devas go to Lord Brahma to pray for protection. And then Lord Brahma sends them to Vishnu, understanding Vishnu's supreme position. So he establishes the supremacy of the Lord in those prayers, in the first 9 or 10 prayers. Now we'll continue tonight. He speaks many more eloquent prayers, many more very instructive prayers. Tonight we'll go from verses 11 to 19. And these prayers are very deep and profound, because you can imagine with Lord Brahma being with his extremely intelligent, therefore each one of his prayers is extremely profound and deep. So we'll go through verses 11 to 19, and you'll see the purports for these verses are very long. So Prabhupada is explaining there's a great deal within these verses. Each verse contains, being a sutra, or being an extremely deep philosophical explanation in a very terse or very concise way. Srila Prabhupada gives very long purports just to explain these verses in this section. So we'll begin to read these verses.
I'll try to get some...
Just help me understand how does one qualify to become Lord Brahma?
How does one qualify to become Lord Brahma?
Yeah.
So it is mentioned, this is explained in Brahma Samhita, that to become Lord Brahma, then one has to be the most qualified jiva within the universe. So it means that he has to perform, to become Lord Brahma, you can become Lord Brahma from the path of jnana, from the path of jnana, from the path of bhakti. So if you're following the path of karma, then you have to follow varnashram dharma perfectly for 100 lifetimes. And if you can follow perfectly for 100 lifetimes, then you can possibly take the position of Lord Brahma, or even get onto his planet. Then, if one is an extremely advanced jnani, means one is extremely powerful as a jnani, then he can also possibly take birth of Lord Brahma. Or if one is a very extremely elevated devotee, and the Lord may choose that jiva to be. So the jivas, according to the different qualifications, they may become Lord Brahma. Or sometimes the Lord sees there is no jiva who is qualified to take the position, and he takes the position himself. So this explanation is given from us.
When you say that sometimes the Lord takes the position of Brahma, that nobody is qualified. So my understanding is that even the pure devotees are not qualified to become Brahma in a different sense of it. Of course, they are over qualified to become Brahma. Because for becoming Brahma, we need a little bit of, can I say, the word contraction?
Sometimes, you'll see, sometimes Lord Brahma is a pure devotee, like that. Sometimes we'll see he's a pure devotee. Well, because Lord Brahma is in his position, he may not begin as a pure devotee, but then by association then he can become a pure devotee. Like that. Or you'll see that, for example, in the Brahma Samhita, and also in the Bhagavatam in this section, then if he has darshan of the Lord, then he's a pure devotee, he becomes purified by that darshan. So being on that level, then those particular Brahmas that are described here in the Bhagavatam, in the Brahma Samhita, they're pure devotees. Amala Bhaktas, pure Vaishnavas, like that.
Thank you. Thank you.